Hi there, and welcome to the Man in the Van podcast, your regular audio drive time companion, where our main aim is education through a conversation. Through our conversations, delve deep into all things related to the tradesperson contracting community, from news to education to industry happenings, helping you do better business while building a better and improved South African tradesmen and women contracting community. Thanks for tuning in. Let's start the conversation.
It is another warm welcome to our audience, to you, the listener out there. I have with me in studio today my guest, Mr. Adrian Meyerberg of Jaswick. And in this episode, we will have a conversation to discuss and to determine what exactly Jaswick is and its relevance within the plumbing industry. We will also be discussing and looking at what the criteria are and what the process is for products and components to be listed with Jaswick. Adrian, a warm welcome back to you to this podcast. Thanks for your time and your effort in joining me.
Hi, Willem. No problem. Thanks for having me. It's always beneficial to let people know what you do or why things are being done. So, yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
The greatest purpose of these, or the greater purpose of these podcasts, is after all to share information with our audience.
Yes.
Just before we give our guests the opportunity to introduce themselves, have a listen to this. This episode is brought to you by Advanced Valves. This year, various role players in the plumbing industry will gather once more for an ultimate boxing showdown, and it's all in the name of charity.
Yes, the plumbing industry is gearing up for this year's Champions for Charity boxing match.
This white-collar boxing event will ultimately see various average Joes step into the ring and give boxing a bash.
If you want to find out more about sponsorships or want to get involved, please email c4c@pirb.co.za for more.
Adrian, so my normal ritual is to just have you introduce yourself to the audience before I fire away with all of the other questions that I have for you. What is your current role within Jaswick, and what is Jaswick's involvement within the plumbing industry?
Okay, Willem, I am the current national chairman chairperson of the Jaswick Executive Committee. Basically, Jaswick maintains a list of acceptable pipes and fittings in accordance with the municipal bylaws. Some of the bylaws refer to Jaswick by name, others just refer to the list, or some bylaws refer to the list but through council resolutions confirm to accept the Jaswick list. Oh. We don't only serve the local authority, or we don't only provide for the local authority, plumbers, architects, engineers, quantity surveyors, any building specifiers, all make use of the list. And then, of course, the always present manufacturers, they'll quickly drop you a line if their opposition is not on the list just at that moment, just to confirm that the bylaws should be restricting them. So, yeah, a lot of people that are involved or that make use of the list.
All the different stakeholders.
Yes.
When was Jaswick established?
Jaswick was established in the early 1980s by a group of municipalities, Water Research Commission, SABS, and funny enough, IOPSA as an industry representative also involved at that stage.
All right. And what type of organization is it? I mean, is it a non-profit? Is it a CC? Is it a PTY, LTD?
It's very difficult to define Jaswick as an organization. Yes, we are non-profit, but basically we are a group of municipal officials with delegated authority from our employers to assess applications from manufacturers to be listed. We have water engineers. We have various representatives from all the different local authorities or metros, municipalities, regional councils. Anyone with an interest in the actual application of these fittings or the actual approval of these fittings.
All right, Adrian. So you mentioned that quite a few representatives from municipalities. Is Jaswick then an independent organization? And how is it governed? I mean, what you mentioned that your role, your current role within Jaswick, is national chairperson, but how is it governed? Is it independent, and how is it governed?
Yeah, like I said, it's difficult to define, but we are made up of representative members from mainly local authorities. And according to our constitution, we have to have, if I say office bearers in inverted commas, myself being the chairperson, then there's a vice chairperson and a financial guy that gets elected from within the committee. Mm-hmm. And then the venue, being the admin or the taking of the minutes, catering, etc., would be covered by the hosting municipality because we rotate the meeting venues, but mostly up in Gauteng.
Okay, that's quite interesting. What you slightly touched when you introduced your current role within your organization and its involvement within the plumbing industry. You slightly it touched on the subject of its relevance within the plumbing industry. But could you elaborate on the relevance of such a list or a register, for that matter, within the plumbing industry?
For sure. Plumbing work must comply with national regulations and standards and all applicable bylaws. And one of the common threads throughout all of these documents is, amongst others, that approved type material and fittings be used. Therefore, plumbers must use compliant products and components. And if we look at SANS 10252 Part 1 for water installations, SANS 10252 Part 2 for drainage, as well as SANS 10400 Part B, all of them state that material must be of an approved type. Mm. So years ago, there used to be traveling salesmen knocking on the doors of the various local authority promoting their specific products, some better than others. And in lots of the cases, the acceptance of these products then lay in the hands of the individual that might or might not be directly involved with its use, etc. So what has happened is, with this list, there's now a procedure to follow. You have officials with no commercial or vested interests or any involvement other than being technical people, where these applications are dealt with by anywhere from 4 to 12 different individuals, given this the sub-acceptance committee size. So in short, the list is a uniform reference point for material that would be acceptable for use within the area of jurisdiction of those local authorities mm-hmm. that make use of the list. And the just as a side note, the bylaws of a lot of these local authorities allow for the city engineer or the executive director for infrastructure and engineering to accept material that is not even on the list or add restrictions pertaining to the use of those products. Mm. I'll give you an example. There are approved plastic piping systems and fittings on the list. But some local authorities, including ours, require that the physical connection onto a geyser be done with 1.5 to 2 meters worth of copper pipe before switching to plastic material. So mm-hmm. even once on the list, if deemed necessary, there could be additional requirements as far as the approval net's concerned. So yes, we are reasonably involved within the plumbing industry, and even we even have a seat on some of the technical committees in that working on the standards and such.
Mm. I wanted to offer what this register offers the industry, manufacturers, and the general public, but I can actually rephrase that question. I can actually ask you, what are the benefits and who benefits from this register or this list? I mean, is it the industry, you know, the installers, the plumbers out there? Is it the manufacturers that list their products on the list or the register? Or is it the general public? Who benefits from it?
I would like to think everybody you've listed now, starting from the manufacturers. Like I said, instead of having a regional salesman or a traveling salesman having to go from Cape Town to Upington to Joburg to KZN, all over the place, back to Bloemfontein, they have a one-stop shop where a manufacturer could do an application. They get accepted and their name, or they get listed. And then everybody with access to that list. And it's as simple as logging onto the website. And whether you're a municipal official in Pitson, Nevada, or whether you are an architect wanting to specify material for a project, anyone, whether you're a plumber being asked to install something you're not familiar with, you can access the list. It is literally as simple as logging on to the list or logging onto the website, which we'll touch on later. But basically, from the manufacturers to the specifiers, architects. It's simply a question of once you're on that list, it affords the consumer, the plumber, the municipality, it affords you that comfort or that assurance that someone has actually looked at this material. And the fact that it's on the list means that it needed or it actually complies with that specific spec or standard that it needs to.
Just before we continue the conversation, have a listen to this.
Introducing the Plumbing Industry Registration Board Company Registration Portal. Now you can register your company to have access to more benefits, including purchasing and allocating certificates of compliance to your PRB registered employees. Visit www.pirb.co.za to find out more information. Plumber training has never been easier with articulated plumber courses. Enroll now to upskill yourself at your own pace and earn CPD points. Our informative and easy to follow courses can be found on iopsitraining.co.za. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Articulated Plumber.
Welcome back. We'd like to remind you that this episode is brought to you by Advanced Valves. Adrian, let's talk about, you said just now that somebody has looked at that material, but let's talk about, the testing thereof, looking at the material. There's certainly, it has to go through some kind of a process, some testing or certification before it gets approved and goes onto the list. What is the difference between testing and certification? And is Jaswick perhaps a certification, is it sort of a, is that the function of it or?
100%. What we've got is if we break down your question into little sections, testing of material gets done by accredited laboratories to a specific specification applicable to that pipe fitting or terminal fitting. For example, if you take a single lever mixer, we see them all over the place, they would be put through a series of tests to ensure compliance with SANS 1480 because that is the spec applicable to that single lever mixer. Within that specific spec, there would be DZR testing, flow rates, torque test. I can vouch for some of these.
A variety of aspects that have to be looked at.
Yes, I can vouch for having seen some of these tests being or taking place. These fittings or these terminal fittings, like these mixers, for argument's sake, they get attached to a mechanical testing rig, and they open and close that thing for days on end, open and close. They literally abuse them to make sure that by the time they comply with the spec, they'd be suitable for use or they'd be out there as a quality product, not failing after opening and closing once or twice. So yes, it's quite a strict regime when it comes to testing to these specs. The certification part is completely separate. Separate is probably the right word. That gets done by accredited certification bodies. To give you a couple of examples, and apologies up front for the ones that I do not mention, the ones that pop in straight away would be the SABS, SATAS, ANOR, there are a lot of them. But basically what they do is they then also get these test reports, whether they do it themselves or whether they get them done by third parties. But it's a different kettle of fish that when someone is going to certify your product, there's a whole lot of contracts, checks and balances, etc., in place where we sign an agreement, and if you deviate and they take samples, once your first test and it's done, they'll take additional samples, etc. So the certification would be like that little SABS logo that you see on material, that certification.
Okay. But
certification is also attached to the testing that get done up front.
Okay.
Jaswick itself, we're not actually involved with either of these two groups that we refer to. We simply receive applications from many manufacturers with paperwork from the laboratories or the certification body. We assess the application. The list is updated. In other words, we take off the or we add the additional new applications that were successful, but we also remove the expired ones because even your certification's got an expiry date on it.
Okay.
And then the list is updated on a quarterly basis. So, and the new version is available on the website at www.jazzweek.co.za. And everybody can then basically, it's just a, like I said, it's a one-stop shop, or it's a one-point reference for whatever you need to make sure complies. That would be one of those.
So that's, you know, you already when all the stakeholders that you mentioned before, whether they be the manufacturers, the installers, the general public or architects for that matter, or municipal representatives, when they go onto that list and they see a product listed there, they can have that assurance of knowing that this product has gone through rigorous testing and proper and accredited testing, and then also has received certification to say that it does comply with all of the regulations, the bylaws, the standards, etc.
Yes.
So what is the process for becoming listed through Jazzweek? You mentioned that people now, the marketing manager doesn't, or the sales representative doesn't necessarily need to drive around or go and knock on municipalities' doors anymore. And you mentioned that there is an application. I heard you mention the word quite a few times during this podcast that there's an application. So what is the process?
Okay. Contrary to most municipal correspondence or municipal administration work, that's actually quite a simple process. There are two options available when you apply. There's a what we call a comply route. In short, the applicant provides us with a test report from a SANAS accredited laboratory, which basically means that the laboratory is being monitored and the quality assurance is in place for that laboratory. And that test report may not be older than a year. It must be relevant to that specific product. He or she, the company or the applicant, then completes this one-page application form and submits the application. And in this case, I think it's one of the very few organizations that operate like this. We accept your application form, your paperwork, your brochure on the products, all the information that's relevant. And we do this whole process. And only once you get accepted and approved, we'll send you an invoice for it. So your application is actually for free until such time that we are happy that everything is in place and we're ready to list. The other route is what we call the mark, which is pretty much the same, but the applicant would actually be an SABS mark holder.
Okay.
And just to go out and bat for the other guys, the only reason why the SABS mark, other than being our national certification body, is still there is that probably 80 to 90% of the people referring to material in their local municipal bylaws will say that the SABS mark on that product would make it acceptable.
Okay.
So it's a historical thing that's always been around, and the application gets treated in exactly the same way. We do scrutinize even the SABS test reports, etc., for accuracy, for being completed, set, and then the process then follows the basically the same route in the comply. The only difference would be that in the SABS's case, or in that specific case, your validity of your listing is basically the same term as your certification from SABS. So you can apply at any stage during your validity of your SABS mark, but the day it cancels, whether it's the 2 years or 3 years, whichever you're applying for, the day your SABS certification ends, that's when your Jazzweek listing ends.
All right, so that's good to hear that there is a whole process of verification of the acceptable evidence, and that, you know, in no formal way are the requirements compromised, you know, the requirements from the SAN standards, bylaws, regulation, all of those. You're also saying now that by the time that certification expires, or that stamp expires, that product will then, or that component will then be removed from the list. So there is also a process of monitoring these listed items.
Yes. Just before I answer that question, I'd just like to add on to that listing procedure that if the listeners do go onto that jazzweek.co.za website, you'll see that there's a whole process is dealt with on that landing page, and the procedure and the application form is, they're both available on there, and it guides you in exactly filling in this form, adding that plus that plus that, and mail it to that address. And that's how simple the application is. To get back to your question around the checks and balances. We've had cases before where the SABS have informed us that they were denied access for sampling products. And they suspect something might be going on. It's a simple tick of the box. We contact our administrator. Your name gets taken off the list. It gets put on pending or rogue or whatever. There's various categories. But basically, you get taken off the list because there's a reason why you're not having tests done. Or we end up getting people that used to have a certification and they change material or they change manufacturing plant or they do changes as in, well, it's not in contravention, but contrary to the SABS norm of how you're supposed to look at these various products, we reserve the right. We take you off the list because if there's anything, we put this list, or let's put it this way, the list is in place to ensure people or to give them that comfort of knowing that something's being done. So if you act in any way that is contrary to someone that's playing by the rules, we simply remove you from the list until you can prove us wrong. That's the short and sweet of it.
Adrian, you mentioned now that people can go onto the Jazzweek website. Would you care to just mention that website again, that web address?
Okay, it's www.jazzweek.co.za. And I am very proud to say that it's a new version. It used to look like an old municipal office. You walk in there as a stack of papers, and it was like it was literally that. And we have in the last year and a half, we've actually updated that website. They can simply log on there, and there are search functions to search by means. You can actually search by manufacturer. If you're looking to get a specific, like I said, maybe a metallic tap, you can search under SANS 226 and it'll give you all the ones that are listed. You could search by spec if you're not sure who does what or what it's called, but you've seen this, the actual spec. You can search by spec. So it's a completely revised, new look, modern website where you can go on and search whatever material you need to find.
Just before we continue the conversation, have a listen to this.
Don't forget to download the all-new and improved App Plumber from the Google Play Store. All your plumbing solutions are just a click away, exclusively for Android users.
At Advanced Valves, respect and integrity are our core values. This means our products have been manufactured with the proud plumber in mind, the one who does not compromise on quality, the proud plumber who saves his customers money and time. You, who values the importance of using SABS approved products? Visit your nearest plumbing store to purchase SA's preferred valve brand. Advanced Valves, your trusted leader in building your reputation. Also available on App Plumber.
Adrian, once again, I want to thank you for joining me in this podcast. Just a last one before we say goodbye to our audience. Going onto that website, it's www.jazzweek.co.za, and Jazzweek is spelled J-A-S-W-I-C, Jazzweek. Adrian, thanks a stack for having joined me in this podcast. And
it's always a pleasure joining you. The serious end of this conversation is that Section 55 of our Consumer Protection Act states, and I'm going to quote it loosely, that every consumer has the right to receive goods that are suitable for the intended purpose, good quality and working order, usable for a reasonable period, and most importantly, complies with any applicable standards set under the Standards Act or any other public regulation. So basically, if there's a tap and there's a standard for a tap, the CPA says that consumer has the right to receive a tap that complies with that standard. So all in all, it's a technical thing. It is a plumbing thing. It's a building industry or it's a plumbing industry thing. But ultimately, I can tell you when it's down to the nuts and bolts, the legal people don't need to know plumbing. They just need to know the legislation. And if you get caught on something like that, we find it regularly that local authorities, we get, or Jazwi gets approached as the listing body to, or for a speedy assessment or listing, or at least a confirmation of an application submitted to us. Simply because the local authority has refused to sign off on a development because the product is not listed. Sometimes it's not even compliant, and then the chaos starts. So it's a simple free check on the list, or it's a simple follow-up before you get going. It'll save you a lot of heartache in the end, especially on the bigger developments. But on that note, thank you for the chat, and keep safe, everybody.
Thanks, Astak, Adrian. And lastly, thanks, Astak, to our audience. We appreciate your time and your effort in having tuned in and listened to this episode. Just before we say goodbye, have a listen to this.
Are you a tradesperson or a trading company that is looking for a platform to market your services? Let Articulated speed up the process for you. You can use our podcast to sell your services. Email us for a quote at organizer@articulated.co.za. You can also visit our website at www.articulated.co.za.
We'd like to encourage our audience to follow Articulated Plumber on Instagram and Facebook, not only to find out more about the Man in the Van podcast, but also to learn more about any exciting and interesting news that we may have. Our handle on both Instagram and Facebook is Articulated Plumber. Finally, it's time to switch off this engine. Cheerio.
Man in the Van podcast, your regular audio drive time companion.